I'm sat in a pretty empty living room, empty for the first time, sounding very different to every time I've ever been in here because of the echo now that the furnishings have gone. There's a small pile of stuff, an old Marconi radio, a couple of chairs and some things. I'm hoping that the Heart of England will take away tomorrow the charity. I'll be heading back down tomorrow, which I believe will be the last time in this house, my grandmother's house, a house that's been a part of my life for my whole life, 42 years. So I don't remember moving in because I was about a year old. But I did live here for a while. And we did come back later as well after a farm we lived in burned down. And we kind of were rendered homeless. And so the whole family did live here. And it's been really strange shifting and moving stuff, which probably hasn't been moved for all of those years. The box that has all the instructions in for everything, and I've finally found the instructions for the boiler, which came with the house, which I had to fix a couple of times, and I was absolutely blown away that it had, well, when I say fix, assist to service, because it never really ever went kaput. Where I myself in my own house has been through three boilers in a very short period of time, so I was blown away. And just looking behind the cupboards and the cabinets and finding stuff, things, little bits of jewellery and very old Italian lira. And it's been a long, long time since my grandmother was in Italy, and a long time since it was lira. And I must have done, I don't know what, 4 or 5 runs to the recycling centre, or tip, as it's most often called. And it's back-breaking, and it is like moving home, but someone else's home, and moving that home to the tip. Heartbreaking in some cases. Although I know that when I'm putting a lot of these Italian and Ukrainian, and because my brother lived here briefly with his wife, Brazilian, or should I say Portuguese, books into a big book recycling box. I don't know if they're going to be pulped. There was a Bible went in there, like a Portuguese leather-bound Bible. And I'm thinking, should I really take this down to a charity shop? And the guy's like, oh, don't worry, these will find a new home. And I'm thinking, what, as new books? Or I don't know. It looks like they're going to be recycled and gone through. As do the shoes and the clothes. Couldn't part with my grandfather's shoes with the little metal toe tappers, heel tapper things that I used to remember him hammering in as a child, because he was trained as a cobbler at one point in his life and could actually make shoes, let alone repair them. God, it is quite emotionally and today very physically draining. Thankfully, I had my brother and my wife here to help out, and I could not have done it without them. A couple of loads gone to the tip with my brother, and my wife is here cleaning everything through and organising everything. And I said in the garden, oh, I'm going to take this white stone. There was a white stone. There's a couple of white stones, actually. But one of them always used to hold the garage door closed. I don't know where I got it from. I don't know. It seems like it's just been absolutely here forever, but I just used to kick it against the garage door. I remember my Mini was stored here for a while when I went travelling, and I used to think that little stone against the garage door was the only thing stopping someone taking my Mini away. It's been another one of those totems. And I jokingly said, I'm going to take that for the garden. And I was lambasted. You will just take everything if you had the chance. Just leave it be. But I just turned to lock the door, and I turned around and thought, I'll go and sit in and for a moment. Tomorrow will be the last day. I'm probably going to be here. I'll just go and soak up the sun, as at this time of the day, it's low enough to come straight through the back of the house. And my gran really did pick a good, you know, positioning. Or my granddad, I don't know who chose the house. And it just comes streaking through the whole house, more so now than ever before. So it's sun-soaked and bright and less depressing, I guess, inside. And I caught out the corner of my eye that stone, and I thought, sod it, everybody's gone now, I'm going to take the stone. And as I picked up the stone, there was a plastic bag underneath. So I opened up the plastic bag, and inside the plastic bag was 40 quid. I'm just... cool. It was well worth me turning that stone. I've got to go to the petrol station on the way out. I will put 40 quid in the tank, because it's a bit of a hike home. And me and my grandmother had a thing for leaving money under a stone for the gardener, and either he didn't collect the last lot, or he didn't come and cut the grass the last time, and the last few times if there was 40 quid under a rock. So yeah, it's now mine. It's like petrol money from beyond the grave. And I say that with a history of, you know, what grandparents are like. My grandmother would always give me a fiver, always give me a fiver. And then when the dementia kicked in, she used to just completely forget. And I got over it very quickly, because obviously there's a lot more to deal with than just me going, oh, you haven't given me that... that £5, like, it became such routine, such, what do you call it, when something's done again and again and again, tradition. And yet, here's the money as I leave. Birds are singing, sun is shining, I think it's going to be a nice drive home. And, yeah, I think I might shoot a little bit of film inside the empty rooms. I pride myself in being able to let go of stuff, to not be able to hold on to stuff, but this is by far the hardest thing, I think, because this is the stage, this is the theatre where all the things that made me who I am happened. And that's quite amazing. The serving hatch, which people have knocked down many years ago normally, but the serving hatch where almost if this was a movie, I could step back from the serving hatch. I could pause for a moment, and then there'd be the kind of playing of ghosts of my mother, who's now dead, and my grandmother, who's now dead, who would be right through there in the kitchen, preparing everything, and then at the head of the table where I'm standing right now, the table now being the back of my car, my grandfather would sit at the head of the table waiting for his food, and I would be sat opposite that hatch waiting for the food, and there'll be my mother... pushing stuff through the hatch, and maybe my father bringing stuff through, and people saying, sit down, to my grandmother, who refused to sit down until pretty much everything was washed up. So we were finishing our dinner, and she would come down and still somehow managed to beat my granddad, because she liked her pasta and she liked her cooking, as we all did. So that serving hatch itself being... like the curtains on its own separate stage. And as I tread the RSJ-less boards underneath me, I don't know if you can hear the spring. My grandfather said, you are not having my wake in this house. The floor will collapse. And I think for some reason he realised that there wasn't an RSJ underneath the main floor in the living room, and we didn't really realise until the surveyor came round and we had to knock a big chunk of money off the sale of the house. All these things I shall never forget, and I'm recording them now in one way, I guess, to ensure that, and maybe my children one day will listen to this and get a really good feel for a place they also knew. In little old Hinckley, of all places. Sounds like echoes of a family, but it's next door neighbour's telly. And they've been here for as long as I can remember. They moved in before my grandmother, so tomorrow I'll take some flowers around and say thank you. They haven't got much longer themselves, and they were very supportive for a very long time. I can't believe they're both still alive. Onwards.